Page 119 of The Unfolding is the story of Carissa Carroll.
Every thought flooded my mind of how is this going to change our lives? Now we have a child with special needs, and just fear and really grief of what we thought, grief of what I had planned.
God's story has been unfolding
since the beginning of time.
He invites you to be a part of it.
Another page in the unfolding.
Hi, this is Meredith Foster. Carissa Carroll is a planner. She had a vision, an idea of what she wanted her life, her marriage, and her family to be like. While she didn't welcome hardship, she'd been through enough in life to know that God is faithful and He carries you through hard things. But when her son Jack was born, it seemed to be completely off script. It was not at all how she imagined their life was going to be.
I actually grew up in rural Minnesota in a very small community, and I'm the youngest of three kids. You know, grew up in a Christian home, and I describe it as my mom always brought us to church, and that was really instrumental in just us understanding God's love for us. But a part of that childhood also included my dad's a recovering alcoholic. So there were many memories that were really painful. And I'm thankful in middle school he went and surrendered his addiction and got help and has been sober for 25 years.
Wow.
But just really was involved in, you know, activities, and but church was a really big part of our lives. And I reflect on just so many people in the church loving us through some really difficult seasons. Hmm. And so that really impacted how I just saw God being faithful through really hard times, but also really great times, and seeing how God can restore anyone. I look back with such gratitude for my mom's just intention to bring us to church. Because even back then, it was, you know, you kind of had to put on this, like, everything's fine, mm-hmm. but everything was not. And I just feel like God showed up through His people. And to this day, it makes me emotional thinking about how that community really shaped our experience in feeling the love of God. And as I mentioned that God shows up through His people, it may just be a meal, it may just be a safe place, it may be a ride, or, you know, I think as now I'm a mom, to see that God can use your story in again what He's done in your life to provide encouragement to others.
So did your faith change as your dad, you know, walked through that? What was faith like for you as a teenager?
Yeah. Well, with being in a small, pretty conservative community, I mean, I was kind of known as a Baptist girls, and I feel like, you know, Wednesday nights was church night and Sundays we were in church, and you know, choosing not to do certain things mm-hmm. that was maybe more popular. But I think what was really instrumental was my choice to go to a private Christian college, where really I had to make a choice of how important is my relationship with Jesus? Is this my parents want me to do it? But really, it's the freedom to say, am I going to go to church? Am I going to trust what His word says? And I think I was involved in the volleyball program at Bethel, and that was also just being shoulder to shoulder with women that were also just growing in their faith. And that was a chance for me to be in community and pray for each other, but also at the same time, which is great, is be super competitive and use the athletic abilities that we had that to play a sport we loved. And so that was also a big highlight But we went through with each other and our team a lot of hard things. You know, if it was grief or loss of a parent, if it was, you know, when life happens in your community, you come alongside each other and love each other through it.
You learned a lot about community, and community became really important.
Absolutely.
It was an important part of your faith, obviously.
Yes. And I think a big part of, you know, faith is when you go through, and obviously we've been through 2 years of the unexpected, is I've asked this question of how I'm choosing to respond to what is happening. Is that bringing people closer to Christ, or is that, you know, is the way I'm choosing to trust and surrender an example of how God is working in my life? And throughout these experiences, if it was childhood or through college, how other people praised him in the storm and praised them through a valley gave me hope that whatever experience I had, I could do the same. And I would grow in resiliency, and I would grow in ways that, no, it didn't feel great at the time, but it certainly, you know, as it says, it's not a matter like if we're going to experience trials, it's, you know, it really is a matter of when. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we shouldn't take that lightly of when we are going through circumstances. You know, some of us are in a season that it's easier to praise God, but like there are times it is, you go through the grief, but God can handle that. There were just people in my life that really modeled to trust God in all circumstances. And that was extremely impactful.
So it wasn't like you were looking at your future saying, Lord, please don't let anything bad happen to me. You were developing some people call it grit.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, to be honest, though, it's not like I was kind of like, yeah, you know, I kind of had a hard childhood, like I'm kind of ready for, mm-hmm. but it also, it did. I can go through these things knowing that God will always be faithful.
So let's say, in college, what was your expectations for your future?
Oh, and I'm definitely a controlling type A, a planner. Most people that know me, and I'm, you know, took that competitive nature of like, here, I am, I have goals for my life. And I think there was also a turning point that with my experiences growing up of trying to control too much, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to try to fix this person, or, oh, I foresee this relationship or whatever, that when I was like, Lord, you have, if it's finding your spouse or whatever it is, like my plans are so, like his plans are so much bigger than ours. And so when I kind of got to that point of surrendering, even, you know, who will I marry? What will my family look like? But you know, I have to say I'm definitely a vision, like
here's what I would
yes. Tall, dark, and handsome man, right? And which I came to marry a tall, handsome man. We got married in 2006 after dating for a few years. We met at college, and really kind of the timeline of, okay, we will travel, we will do all of these things, and then welcome our kids, right? And for the most part, right, so that happened, and had our first son, Luke, 4 years after we were married. And I will say that experience of the miracle of life, and I was the teacher while, you know, for about 8 years before I had Luke, and seeing just and experiencing the love that I had for my own child really helped me see, like, my love for my own child is so minimal compared to God's love for us. But it also impacted me in, if I love my son this much, how other people, like when I was in the teaching role, to see every person as someone's child. Mm-hmm. And that when you see others through that, and ultimately as a Christian, we should see everyone as a child of God, created in his image. That was another big moment to stop and pause and be like, wow, what a gift to have a child. And then to see the love that you have for another is in God you know, loves us so much more than that. But then to say we should be looking at others, that they were created, you know, in his image. And then almost 2 years to the day, we're due with our second son. I filled out the birth plan for the second child, which again tells you a little bit about my personality. And everything was going well, and we were in the hospital room and getting settled, and I was really close to delivering our baby. All of a sudden, his heart rate had dropped. Everyone got tense in the room, and my husband Chris was next to me, and the doctor that was on call that night said, "I'm so sorry, we have to do an emergency C-section." And I can remember them pushing me out of the room, and they said to Chris, "We'll be back for you." And another memory I had was in the operating room when they put a mask over my face. And I said, "Can you go get my husband?" And they said, "He cannot be in here," because things were happening so
too
quickly.
Fast.
Yeah.
Do you remember? So that was not going according to your birth plan.
No.
Do you remember what you felt when that turn of events happened? I know that's really fast and it's bewildering.
Yes. I think, you know, as you're just, it's all just a fog. And I think my biggest longing was to be with my husband during all of that, you know, and is my baby going to be okay?
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, and the healthcare providers were trying to stay as calm as possible. But when I awoke after surgery, I can remember feeling grief of not being awake for his birth. Right. And I said, could you go get my husband? And she said, "Well, after you recover a little longer, you can go to be with him and your new baby." And in that meantime of my recovery, Chris was waiting, and a nurse and a nurse practitioner walked into the room with the baby. He was kind of confused because he thought he'd be there for that delivery. And he looked over at the woman, and she handed our son to him and said, "Are you aware of trisomy 21? And he must have looked confused because she continued, "Well, Down syndrome." And she listed off characteristic that Jack was showing, and she said, "Well, just enjoy your baby," and left the room.
Talk about bewildering.
Yes. And, you know, Chris reflects like he hadn't had much experience with anyone with Down syndrome up to that point in his life. So he didn't really know if he would live a few days or, you know, months or really what that meant. And he kind of recalls that it was probably another 45 minutes while he's holding this little new baby. And he was like, it was just a longing to be like, "Where are you? And I just, you know, what is happening?" And I was brought back to that original delivery room in which I was, again, really sad that I wasn't awake for his birth, and how everything went. Certainly was not prepared for Chris to bring over our baby and say they think he has Down syndrome. So that's how I found out that our baby, they suspected he had Down syndrome. Oh, I think every thought flooded my mind of how will this change us? How will this affect my two-year-old? Every person that I knew with Down syndrome of like, how is this going to change our lives? And now we have a child with special needs, and just fear and shock and really grief of what we thought. Mm-hmm. Grief of what I had planned actually to be, you know, again, like, no, this wasn't what I planned. I wasn't planning on having a baby with a unique genetic condition. And I can remember just crying a lot. And, you know, we have pictures right after of Jack and Chris and I, and just my face just fully swollen and from all the tears. There was a nurse that walked in and looked over at Jack in the bassinet, and she said, "Look at your precious baby." And when I feared that the world would not accept my son because he was different, a complete stranger came in and saw him for who he is. She gave me permission to just go through all the emotions. And as we talk about mom guilt, it's like I felt just an extreme amount of this wasn't what I had thought. This isn't. And he just looked at me with, I know I'm, this is surprising, but just love me. I just talk a lot about how that, just look at your precious baby. And when we had been praying for this sweet baby growing in my womb, that as the hours went on and I was completely consumed by this new diagnosis, it's like, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Jack is God's masterpiece, created in his image to do great things.
This was not how Carissa had envisioned their family's future, but she was hanging on to God's promises. Part two of her story is coming up. But first, a word from our sponsor, Habib Habib, founder of H-Squared Leadership Institute.
Hi, I'm Habib Habib. Today, I want to share another quote from a book I'm writing about Joseph's story as it parallels my own story. The book will be completed soon. Here's the quote. Joseph did not tear others down in order to lift himself up. When one reads the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis, it becomes very apparent that everywhere he landed, Joseph did his best and helped people around him. He served with a gentle and humble heart. We can apply that to our own lives and live by the credo, whether it's with our spouses, our siblings, our children, our co-workers, really with everyone. Life is not a year after year of competition. Servant leadership is a powerful model of leadership, and it was modeled by none other than Jesus himself. I learned that a long time ago, but I have to keep reminding myself that. Servant leadership was modeled by Jesus, and I need to be a servant leader. I hope you can be inspired to do the same. Read more at HabibHabib.com.
And now part two of Carissa Carroll's story.
You know, the day after Jack was born, we had a name picked out for him, and I just felt like that's not who I thought Jack would be. And I asked my husband, I said, we need to name him. And Chris went out for a run and came back, and he says that he remembers where he was, where he stopped, and he just broke down and cried. And he's a strong, tough guy that he said, you know what? I get to raise Jack. And when he came back, that was the strength that I needed. And our life verse, or our marriage verse, is Romans 1, 11 and 12. And it really, summarizing it, is you and I will be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. And ultimately, we're doing this journey together to bring each other closer to Christ. But I was just, that's what I needed, is to hear, like, we get to raise Jack. We navigated those first few days and then our transition home and continued to go through a variety of emotions. And we found, you know, like the best resource to us, the way that God works, right, is I took care of a young girl with Down syndrome in college, and I called her mom and I said, Alicia, you're never going to believe this, but I have a new baby with Down syndrome. And she said, Carissa, not for $1 million would I ever change who she is. And I clung on to those words because it was the hope that I needed for the day. You know, just kept connecting with her and kept connecting with other moms a little farther down the road. And the common theme that you would hear is, you know, the joy far outweighs these hard days. I wouldn't change my child if I could. I just change how the world perceives my child. Things that just the beauty of slowing down and appreciating the little things. So those things were always, and I was seeing that in Jack, in, you know, if it was him rolling over or, you know, just some things that medically are kind of generalized with this diagnosis of, oh, well, this will be off, or you're going to see this or that. It would be like, almost like God saying, I'm going to give you a little bit of just, if it's his smile or whatever, because I'm still having that tension of like, this wasn't my plan. And I started to blog and just started to write some things as we just learned more about Jack, of just God, again, providing and being faithful. And as I kept writing about our journey and the joy that he was bringing us, and recognizing this was unexpected, being completely vulnerable in that, a friend from high school I hadn't talked to in maybe even a decade had gone through a tragic loss with his brother. And he wrote on the anniversary of the date that his brother died, he said, you know, most of the last few years and on this day, I'm pretty destructive with my choices and how it's because of the pain and grief. And he shared that through the encouragement and the hope and the inspiration of a little boy choosing to just, through his mom's words, say, I'm going to trust you in all circumstances, that gave him hope that his life, even though he's gone through such pain, that he can write the story differently. That was so impactful to me to say, my son's life, me going through something like this, but really openly saying, God, I'm going to trust you. I don't know what's going to happen. That was so, like, I am limiting what God can do because my plans didn't work out. I can either stay stuck and resentful and bitter of like what I wanted, or I can choose to surrender my plans. And when I truly did that and I accepted who God had, like this gift of an extra chromosome that really taught me to just really see people, right? So when I became a mom, I was encouraged by that to see everyone as someone's child. But everybody was created with a purpose. I think we as Christians and the society's narrative about if someone is different, was that a mistake? Well, we as Christians know God does not make mistakes. It was not a mistake that he has an extra chromosome in each cell of his body, right? It certainly hasn't affected our love for him, but I had to get to an acceptance. So I had a choice to really, again, surrender that plan of my own to truly accept what God was going to do in Jack's life. That's when I really feel like I was able to, so I, you know, I was trying to trust before, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to trust you, God, and you are faithful. But to truly accept this new life, because when we're grieving what we thought, I think there's a lot of temptations. You go in and out.
Yes.
And so truly accepting who Jack is for who he is and how he was created, and then celebrating, right? And moving from this, like, we're going to celebrate how you are unique and how you have taught us so many things and taught us to see life in a much more beautiful way that I don't believe I could have seen if I wouldn't have had Jack in my life.
Can you describe that? Like,
yes.
Or maybe give examples of that?
Well, you know, I feel like, especially with my personality of like, I'm thinking goals and vision and all this. And Jack teaches us to slow down and celebrate those small things. I mean, like things like milestones with someone that has a developmental delay. You know, the things that he worked on when he was a baby from simple feeding, right? With low muscle tone of just discovering how incredible the body is, right? That God made for us. But whenever you look back at something you worked super hard at, and it was a huge accomplishment, what do? You celebrate.
Yeah.
It took Jack almost 2 years to walk. And that took a variety of, you know, if it was PT and OT, all of these things, which I can shift my perspective of I have to go to therapy or I get to. I see this team of people that are helping him reach those milestones. So when he did walk, we just about threw a party, right? Whereas then I have a daughter who is younger than Jack, that she walked at 10 and a half months and I was like, trying to push her down. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't want her to go anywhere, but I had three kids under the age of four by that point. But there's something about what Jack brings to our family. We celebrate many more things that we would have taken for granted if it's related to Jack or it's related to any of my kids. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a story. And I think that, you know, you kind of make an assumption of what you think other people's lives are like. That is the heartbreaking reality that people assume our life is so filled with, you know, if you hear, oh, it's a life of pain and suffering. Jack has brought so much joy and impacted us. We have a phrase that you make me better. And that is a message we should be sharing with everyone. That each of our lives have the ability to make each other's better. He brings so much love, unconditional love, that I feel like he can sense in a room too when someone, if we're out and about or just simply with our family, he, Mom, you okay? You okay? Mom, take a breath. I'm like, yes, Jack, I do need to take a breath. So,
wow.
Yes.
You talked about after Jack was born in regards to like having your plan and it's not your plan, but God kept providing and being faithful. Do you remember any like examples of that?
So I recognized throughout that first year of his life, God was faithful through his people, right? Through providing their story that said, yep, I know what it's like to experience that if it was medical or milestones. And that was what really continued to be a message of, yep, this is a phase and you will work through it. But what also was, again, going back to is meeting with other families that would find they wouldn't change their child, but they'd change that diagnosis experience. And that really broke my heart. And it was, I'm so sorry your baby has Down syndrome. I'm sorry we have bad news. To, you know, your hopes and dreams are over because your baby has Down syndrome. So a part
That's what people have experienced, are you saying?
Yes. Yeah. Wow. And that was something throughout just meeting and connecting with other families. That was a common thing that was said. And I can remember close to Jack's first birthday that I had gotten connected because this is what this community does is they love on each other and they know about the unexpected joy of the journey. And I had asked this mom who had a 7-month-old daughter at the time, I said, you know, tell me how you were told your child's diagnosis. And she said, and she's a first-time mom. And she said, seconds after my baby was born, a nurse had yelled it out in the room, this baby has Down syndrome. And I just, my heart broke for her because I had experienced what it was like when I had my first. And that's not that experience. And, you know, I said, tell me about your stay in the hospital. And she said, well, in our 3 weeks of being there working on feeding, not one person had said congratulations. And again, I could sense in this mom with her 7-month-old, she was in a lot of grief. And I really thought, how is that impacting her ability to accept her new life with her baby? Mm-hmm. She hadn't gotten connected to all of the resources or the community. And that really was something that was impactful in our year, that we had a great community and we knew about all the resources and all of those things, mm-hmm. right? So it led me to, you know, saying to Chris, let's go back on Jack's first birthday and celebrate, because there was a lot of tears on the night he was born. And I said, this has really broken my heart to hear that families are leaving the hospital without being congratulated on their baby. How does that not, you know, make someone think this is just going to be a terrible life ahead because people are going to treat us differently? So we went back to the hospital. I had called the hospital and I said, can you just tell me, like, and it's a smaller hospital here in the Twin Cities. And I said, how many babies will be diagnosed with Down syndrome here? And the nurse that I love and have continued to connect with, she had said, I think there's about 2. So I said, well, I would like to come back on his first birthday and bring 2 baskets, and I want baby gifts in there, because when you have a baby, they give you gifts. And I want to put a letter that of what Jack's life had taught us in that first year, along with other families. And I want all the free resources that are available, all in one place. So these families know they can leave. And if they need a lot of support or they do not, it's all going to be right there. And I found out through the wonderful ways of social media that a family had received that first basket. And they said it brought them hope for their future. And they said it was the only congratulations they received while they were in the hospital. Which again, it was such a bittersweet, it was a great way to honor Jack's first year of life through that, you know, way of celebrating his birthday. But I also was like, this can't happen anymore. This needs to change. So I basically really was on a mission to get to every hospital in the Twin Cities and ask them, what do you do when a baby is diagnosed with Down syndrome? And a lot of times they couldn't answer, or they had an outdated, you know, binder or information about the diagnosis. And I thought, you know, this baby needs to be celebrated. The family needs to be congratulated. And throughout the, you know, course of the next couple months, and now it's been 5 years, we will celebrate next month our 5,000th baby in 35 countries and all 50 states, because I feel that every baby's life has worth, and I feel like these families need to know about the loving and supportive community that's there to come alongside. And as throughout my years, seeing how God provided, this is an opportunity to spread love through a basket, right? Providing hope, but ultimately celebrating a baby worthy of celebration. And so we have grown tremendously, and that really, on Jack's first birthday, was the birth of Jack's basket. But we know that the start of the story is with healthcare providers, and with my education background, that I have recognized it's more a matter of the tools and the communication that needs to change, that people went into healthcare to provide care. And through Jack's Basket, we've been able to really provide a connection between, you know, when the diagnosis is given, what do families need right away? And so that's been a really impactful way to reach these families, is through the providers. So we've done some journal publications in pediatrics to say, when bad news isn't necessarily bad, recognizing provider bias, but then also giving them the strategies. What do families want to hear? What is helpful? And then to really change the narrative that is given, because that directly impacts a lot of the start of the story. So God has shown up in huge ways as we've grown in celebrating 5,000 babies.
You have any God moments along the way?
Oh, absolutely. And I feel like every time I walk into, you know, this started in at my kitchen table, to if it is seeing, last month we celebrated over 100 babies. And so we get 5 requests a day for new babies, and we continue to just grow. So, I mean, I feel like hearing from across the world of how impactful that basket of hope was, to hear families see their child as a gift, because even myself, I wasn't ready to celebrate, but for them to know that they're not alone. As the story continues to unfold for me, if it was those people in my childhood church, right, that provided hope to get through whatever it was we were experiencing, or the community of my teammates to, like, hope as, you know, moms just saying, you can do this. Even when you find yourself on the floor and just like, I can't do this today. That's how God shows up. And that's the biggest thing, that I think God can use each of our stories, and it can encourage people to trust and really surrender their plans in all circumstances. And it is, you know, as this continues to grow bigger than I ever could have done, and I get overwhelmed, and I always go, he can split the Red Sea, he can figure this out. But ultimately to say, this is so much bigger than me and Jack and all of what I even see, it's like I have to yield to trusting him. You know, some people may think, well, that's great for you, like, you can do this. But ultimately, going back to God can use you, like, I, you know, in that meal, or in praying, in volunteering at your church or your school, whatever it is, it's like, I could say, what's in your basket, right? Like, I'm doing this as a result of, like, how God has provided that I'm able to provide for other people. But ultimately, each of us have the ability, because God provides for us. So I want to encourage people in that, you know, to trust that he can use your story. One thing is when we chose Jack's life verse, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, for the Lord your God goes with you wherever you go. I will say that reciting that verse, even when I was uncertain, even when I didn't know, or we were heading to, you know, appointments, it was like God's word showed up in be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, for the Lord your God goes with you wherever you go. And that's something that we say almost daily to our kids as we send them off to school. Right?
Can you tell me background on that? You chose a life verse for Jack, and you've done that for each of your kids?
Yes. Yep. And when we dedicated him, and he was a few months old, and seeing that up there, still very fragile, of like, this is a new journey. And when we chose that verse, it not only was his life verse, but it spoke to me of mm-hmm. as his mom, as his family, as now we speak it into our kids, that we are all called to be strong and courageous, to not be afraid, because he is with us wherever we go. And so, you know, tying that to the 40 years that I've had of he has provided, he's been faithful. And then when we go through the unexpected, he calls us to really be strong and courageous. And I think, you know, hiding God's word, if it's, you know, we as young kids memorized a lot of that scripture, you know, as now as this organization has grown, search my heart, oh God, whatever is in me that's not of you, make that clear to me. If it's how I interact with my kids, how I lead a really big organization, I think we need to really focus on his truth, because so many times the enemy comes to steal and destroy. And so when I see these precious babies with this life verse, because it's one of the gifts we have in the basket, and it's babies all over the world have this onesie that says, be strong, be courageous. And that was a gift that's in there because that's Jack's life verse. And I know that there are families that do not have a relationship with Jesus, and they come from a variety of religious backgrounds. God's doing a lot through a little basket. And it's an encouragement to me to keep speaking up for these babies, because they deserve to be celebrated.
Carissa talked about surrendering her plans, accepting the plan that God had for their family, and then celebrating that. As we were talking, she mentioned a statistic. In the United States, 67% of babies are terminated after a positive screening for Down syndrome. In a handful of countries, the termination rate is almost 100%. She talked about this disconnect that many Down syndrome babies are not valued, and yet families love their children with Down syndrome. Because of the impact that Jack has had on their lives, she feels called to be a voice, to speak for those who can't. She wants more people to experience the love and the joy that they've experienced. Well, do you know a family with a new baby diagnosed with Down syndrome? You can request a complimentary basket of gifts to be sent to them anytime from diagnosis up to the baby's first birthday. You can learn more, request a basket, or support this organization at jacksbasket.org. Thanks to Carissa for sharing her story. And big thanks to you for listening, rating, reviewing the podcast. This past week, people were listening in the Bahamas and Belgium, Austria and Argentina, and Canada and the Cayman Islands. It's just kind of fun to think of thousands of people connected by hearing the same God story each week. Thanks to our team, our producer Jason Rackow, Daniel Perez, and Elena Nallen, and to our wonderful sponsor, Habib Habib, founder of H Squared Leadership Institute. Find out how to unleash the full power of your leadership potential at HabibHabib.com. The Unfolding is produced by Northwestern Media, a ministry of the University of Northwestern St. Paul. We'll be back next week with another page in The Unfolding.